read through verse 31 in this chapter. But I told you tonight I wanted to back up to about verse 25 and come down through verse 31 and try to make some practical application there about the Word of God and its effects on our lives as believers. And I'm doing this because in verse 25 you see there that the people come into a wood, it says, and there was honey upon the ground. And in verse 26 it says the honey dropped. Verse 27 you see that Jonathan, Saul's son, put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in an honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth. So you got honey, and it's mentioned again in verse 29. At the end of verse 29, he says, because I tasted a little of this honey. And as I mentioned this morning in Sunday school, honey in the Bible in places is a picture or represents the Word of God. The Word of God is likened to various types of food. As I said today, it's likened to bread, it's likened to milk, it's likened to meat. It is called strong meat in different places in the Bible. And there are places where honey is likened to the Word of God. And as you look in these verses here and think of this honey as the Word of God, I see some things that I feel like are important. And I want us to take just a little bit of time to talk about those things before we move on in this chapter. But one thing, and I'm just going to pick these out at random, there's not necessarily any order to this, but I want you to notice it says there at the end of verse 27 that when Jonathan tasted of this honey, he had taken the end of the rod that was in his hand, he dipped it in a honeycomb, and then he put that honey into his mouth. And the Bible says that his eyes were enlightened. His eyes were enlightened. That is one thing that the Word of God will do in a person's life. The Word of God will enlighten their eyes, and I'm speaking from a spiritual perspective here. It will open their eyes and enable them to see things the way God wants us to see them. Not the way the world wants us to see them, but the way God wants us to see them. And anybody that has tasted the honey of the Word of God and had their eyes enlightened understands there is a vast chasm between how the world sees things and how God sees things. And what's important is not how the world sees stuff. That is absolutely irrelevant, completely irrelevant. What matters is how God sees things. And as we read the Bible, God opens our eyes. And he shows us truth. He shows us truth about ourselves. He enlightens our eyes when it comes to our own selves. And that's something that's important. I have talked before about how in the New Testament the Word of God is likened to a mirror. And whenever you look into a mirror, it gives you a reflection of yourself. It shows you what you look like. And when you look into the mirror of the Word of God, or when you taste the honey of the Word of God, your eyes are opened. And one thing that you are enlightened to is your own spiritual condition. God shows you exactly the kind of person you are spiritually, exactly where you are in your life as a Christian, areas of your life where you're weak, areas of your life where you need to grow, where you need to mature, things in your life that's not the way it needs to be, that need to be gotten out, stuff that's not there that needs to be brought in. He shows you these things. He enlightens your eyes to your own self, and then he opens your eyes to other people as well. He helps you to see people the way he sees them. And I'm mainly talking here about how he helps us to see lost people the way he sees them. He helps us to see people as as souls that need a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not in the Bible, we just kind of go through life looking at the exterior of people and making our assessments or our judgments based on what we see on the outside, whether it be the color of their skin or how they look in their appearance and that sort of thing. That's not really how God looks at people. He doesn't look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. He looks down inside of a person, and what matters to God more than anything is whether or not that person has a personal relationship with him through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants us to see people that way. When I look at people, he doesn't want me to just see them and how they look on the outside. He wants me to see them from a spiritual perspective. Where are they spiritually? Are they saved? Do they have that relationship with the Lord? And then, too, he helps us to see save people in a different way as well. He helps us to see them as people that we can encourage, people that we can be a help to, people that we can learn from, that can help us to grow in our own lives. So he enlightens our eyes to our own selves, to other people. He helps us to see the truths of the Bible, the doctrines of the Word of God, the things in here that he teaches, he says, the stuff that he wants us to learn, the stuff he wants us to know, the stuff he wants us to believe. He enlightens our eyes in so many ways as we read the Word of God. And naturally, the more you read and the more you study, the more light you're going to get. The more it's going to clear up your vision, the better you're going to see things, the more time you spend in the Word of God. Hold your place here and look over at Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. I can remember in my own personal life, and some of you might can do this as well, but I can remember in my own personal life the time when I really got serious about the Word of God. And this was actually sometime after I got saved. Some years had transpired in my life before I really got serious about the Bible. And I'm talking about studying the Bible and reading the Bible and meditating in the Word of God. I was saved. I had heard the gospel. I had received Jesus Christ as my Savior. But it was some years later before I really buckled down and got serious about the Word of God. And I can remember, it's just amazing. It truly was amazing at how things in my life began to change when I got serious about the Word of God. Just how he was opening my eyes and showing me stuff that I had never seen before up to that point. And it was such a wonderful thing, and the wonderful, glorious thing about it is he's still doing that right now. He is continuing to open my eyes and continuing to show me things now and teach me things and learn me things that I need to learn. And I love it. That's one of my favorite things about reading and studying in the Bible. Being a preacher, I have to preach and I have to teach a lot. But I don't like to read and study the Bible just to get up a sermon or just to get up a Bible lesson. I love to read the Word of God and study just for my own personal relationship with the Lord. And I always look forward to the next thing that the Lord's going to show me when I read the Word of God. I enjoy that. I enjoy him just opening my eyes and showing me something in a verse or showing me something in a chapter or showing me something about a book of the Bible I've never seen before. I love that. It's just something I enjoy. And if you look here in Psalm 19, verse number 8, Psalm 19, verse 8, you'll notice there the Bible says, "The statutes of the Lord are right." Amen. This is talking about the Word of God. If you look there in verse 7, it's called the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord. In verse 8, it's called the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. All of this is a reference to God's Word. And it says there in verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You know one thing that the Word of God will do for you? It'll rejoice your heart. I kind of feel like maybe one reason why us saved people don't have more joy than we do is because we don't spend enough time in the Bible. The amount of joy that you have in your life is directly related to the amount of time that you spend in the Word of God. So if you need more joy, you want more joy, you know what you do? You spend more time in the Bible. And the more time you spend in the Bible, the more joy you'll find in your heart. Got to start moving out some of that stuff that's in your heart that doesn't need to be there. You know what I mean? You start moving out some of those bad feelings and that bitterness and some of that stuff that clutters up our hearts. It just has no business being there. And you'll just find as the time goes on, he's moving more of that stuff out and replacing that stuff with more joy. And before you know it, you'll be a Christian that is full of joy. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. But it goes on to say the commandment of the Lord is pure. And look at what it does, enlightening the eyes. Just like that honey that Jonathan put in his mouth and lightened his eyes, that's what the Word of God will do for you. It'll open your eyes and help you to see things as you need to see them. But go back now to 1 Samuel 14, and let's look on at something else here. In verse 28 it says, "Then answered one of the people and said, Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint." The people were faint. Why were they weak? We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning. Why were they faint? Like weak and run down, no energy, no strength, feeling like they're going to just drop out. Why were they that way? Hadn't been eaten, right? Because remember, Saul made them get under this oath where if any of them ate that day, then they would be under the curse of God. So they had done without food all day, and they'd been fighting the Philistines and pursuing the Philistines. They haven't taken any sustenance in, so they're getting weak. That's where they were at this time. Matter of fact, if you look down at verse 31, notice it says at the end of that verse, and the people were very faint, very faint. They're real weak. Talked about how the Word of God is likened to food. And one thing that the Word of God will do for you is give you strength. It will build you up and give you strength in your life. And without the Word of God, you know what's going to happen? Just like these people, you're going to be weak spiritually. You're going to be weak spiritually. Man shall not live by bread alone, the Bible says, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So if we're going to have strength, be strong spiritually, we've got to take in the Word of God. Without it, we're going to be weak spiritually. And I think this explains the weakness that you see in many Christians. Why a lot of times we're not able to resist temptation that comes our way. Why we don't have the strength to hold off a temptation that comes, because we're not in the Word like we need to be. And a good illustration of what I'm talking about, I just quoted a verse of Scripture. It's found in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, but it's quoted in the New Testament by the Lord Jesus Christ. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know when he quoted that Scripture, though? When he was in the wilderness. Y'all remember he went out in the wilderness and was there for 40 days and 40 nights, and the Bible says that while he was there, he was tempted of the devil. And the Bible records three specific temptations that he faced while he was in the wilderness. And you know what he did every time he was tempted by the devil? Every single time that he was tempted, you know what he did? Quoted the Scripture every time. He quoted three different passages from the book of Deuteronomy. There's Christians that don't even know the book of Deuteronomy is in the Bible. And I'm not trying to make light of people. I mean, I'm just telling you facts. It's just a fact of life. Some Christians are just, they have so little knowledge of the Bible, they just don't read, they don't study, they won't put the time in, and that's why they're weak. God has designed us spiritually to where we have to have that nourishment. We have to have the milk and the meat and the honey of the Word of God to build us up and strengthen us so that we can ward off temptations, so that we can stand against our flesh when it rises up, so we can resist the world when it comes against us with some problem or something that's trying to get us to conform to. So if we don't spend the time we need in the Bible, we're just going to get weaker and weaker and weaker until we're just like the people there in verse 31. We're very faint. You know what happens if you get faint enough? Just pass out, don't you? Just drop out. Yeah. Reckon maybe that's the answer to why so many Christians now just drop out, get out of church, and go back out in the world and don't live for God. Maybe it's because they never really dug into the Bible and started learning and growing like they needed to. I really think a bad decision is when Christians depend on somebody else to give them the Bible that they need. Like coming to church, for example. You know, there's some people, the only time they ever crack open a Bible is when they come to church on Sunday. And you need to bring your Bible to church, amen? Come to church without your Bible is like going to war without a gun. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, to be honest with you. So you need to come, and you need to go to a church where you can get fed the Word of God. But if that's all the Word you get in your life, you're not going to last very long spiritually. Not going to make it very long. And perhaps one reason why so many Christians are just falling out and getting out and going back to the world is because they will not commit in their own personal lives. They're depending on somebody else to give it to them. And I know that it's my responsibility as a pastor to feed the flock. I realize that, and I'm going to do that to the best of my ability, but I can only give you so much in the allotted time that I have with you on Sunday and Wednesday nights. And just think about this now. Think about it. Say the only times that you took in food in the course of a week was on Sunday and Wednesday night. There's only times that you ate anything, just Sunday and Wednesday. I wouldn't be as heavy as I am, I guarantee you that. What would happen to us eventually if that's the only time we ate? We just slowly dwindle down and dry up to nothing is what would happen to us. If that's all the nourishment we ever got was just Sunday and Wednesday night, we couldn't live very long that way. But some people, that's their perception of Bible study. I go to church, I get what I can a few hours on Sunday, and then again on Wednesday, and then the rest of the time a Bible just lays at the house collecting dust. And they wonder why they're so weak spiritually. It really is just kind of common sense, you know. The more you spend time in the Bible on your own, reading and studying and learning, and then add to that with being in church when you can to get fed at church, it just builds you up and it strengthens you spiritually. But without it, you get weak. Now look at verse 29. Then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. He's troubled the land. He says, when my daddy made y'all get under this oath here, he troubled the whole land. So the idea is when he steered y'all away from taking in food, he brought trouble to the land. I thought about that. I look around today at our country, and this is not to, I know y'all know by now that I have a very patriotic heart. I love my home and my country. I love the United States, and I consider it a privilege to live in this country right here, and I thank God that I get to live here, but right's right and wrong's wrong, amen? And even though I love America and I'm thankful to live here, the truth, the whole cold, hard truth is that our land is troubled. This land from sea to shining sea is in an absolute spiritual mess right now. It really is. We are so far from where God wants us to be, it is unbelievable. And there's stuff going on now that many of you in this building right here have said to me before, I never dreamed in my life I would see things happening in this country that I see happening right now. But that's what's going on. And you know why that is? I mean, let's be real about it. We can try to blame it on the Republicans and blame it on the Democrats. The reality is that our land is troubled because we've gotten away from the Word of God. That's the problem. And the problems in this country, in this land, are not going to be fixed until we get back to the Bible. It's the only way it's going to be fixed. And I just thought about that when I saw what Jonathan said here about how the land was troubled because his dad had told him not to eat. When you steer a country away from the Bible, okay, and this is the thing, you need to watch out for any person, any politician, any organization, anybody that wants to lead our country in a direction that goes against the Word of God. You want to watch out for that. And if at all possible, don't put your support behind somebody like that. We don't need to get any further from the Bible than we are, amen? We don't need to keep going that direction. We need to turn around and go back to the Bible is what we need to do to get the land fixed. So watch out for anybody that would lead you away from the Word of God. But notice there in verse 29, then said Jonathan, my father, trouble the land. See, I pray you, look at this now. He says, see, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. He says, you can see how it's helped me just to take a little of this honey. You folks can see it. My eyes have been enlightened. You know what that tells me? People will be able to notice that there's a difference in your life whenever you start spending more time in the Word of God. Because things are going to begin to change. You're not going to stay the same person. Good things are going to begin to take place in your life the more time you spend in the Bible. It's going to draw you closer and closer to the Lord. And as that happens, these changes take place, and people are going to be able to tell that. Just like these folks could look at Jonathan and see there was difference in him because he took that honey, people will be able to see a difference in your life. They'll be able to tell that you're not the same person you used to be. When you show up on the job, they're going to notice. It may take them a little while, but they're going to pick up and notice that you're not talking the same way you used to talk. And you're handling situations that come up with a different attitude than you used to handle them with. And maybe you don't fly off the handle as easily as you once did when a problem comes up. They're just going to be able to tell there's a difference the more time you spend in the Word of God. The Bible will literally transform your life if you allow it to. There's no question about it. But look at the end of verse 29 again. He says, see, I pray you how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. You know that old expression, a little goes a long way? A little bit of the Word of God can make a tremendous difference in your life. A little bit. But look at verse 30. He says this, how much more if happily the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found. He says, you see that by just taking a little bit of honey, my eyes have been enlightened. He said, but just think about it. How much better everybody would have been if we had eaten freely. In other words, if we hadn't held back, not just had a little bit of honey, but just got on that spoil that was left by the Philistines and just ate and ate all that food. Just imagine how much better off we'd have been if we'd have taken in more food. So, a little of the Bible is better than no Bible. Amen. And a little of the Word of God can make a difference in your life, especially if you've been getting none of it. Okay, if you go from getting none to get a little, you're going to see change. You're going to see things taking place in your life. But just imagine, verse 30, how much more, how much better off you'll be if you take in more of the Bible. So if you're taking in just a little bit right now, and you think, wow, man, this is great. I'm really, this is good, just this little bit. Just imagine how much better off you'll be if you start taking in more of the Word of God. The more you take in, the better off you're going to be spiritually. Look at what it goes on to say in verse 30. For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? You know what the implied answer to that is? Yeah, the implied answer is yes. He's saying we could have really whooped them Philistines if we had eaten like we were supposed to. If we hadn't have done without food all day, if we'd have got some good nourishment, we could have really, really whooped up on those Philistines, is what he's saying. It just shows you that the more of it that you ingest, the more of it that you take in, the better off you're going to be, the stronger you're going to be, the healthier you're going to be, the smarter, really. The smarter, the more wisdom, the more understanding that you're going to have, the more of the Word of God that you take into your life. So for all of us, for every last one of us, we need to spend as much time in the Bible as we can. And reality is that we all have different schedules, and you know, our time is different as far as what we're able to do. But I do think that if we want to, and that's kind of how it is, isn't it? We pretty well do what we want to do. We make time for what we want to do. But I believe if we all, every one of us, want to, we can spend a good amount of time in the Word of God every day of our life, if we want to. And the more time we spend in the Bible, the better off we're going to be spiritually. The closer we're going to get to the Lord, the stronger we're going to get. We're going to find ourselves growing, things in our lives changing, and people around us are going to be able to see the difference that the Word of God is making in our life. And people seeing the difference in our life is not about us, right? It's not about so they can pat us on the back and brag about, you know, what a great Christian we are. Them seeing the difference in us is about us being able to testify on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, to let them know that it's because of Him and His Word that our lives have been changed. And we're going to stop here tonight, and we'll go on down in this chapter on Wednesday night.